Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
I'm a strong believer that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and I believe you get what you say. And I believe that your words are forming your world. I believe that your words are forming your world. So it's important that you watch what you say. Because the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we cannot be loose with what we say. Amen? And so we provided some declarations for you. And I will share this quickly. I have this shirt that's out there. It says young, blessed, and highly favored. Young, blessed, and highly favored. And I have this boys' kids program in the Bahamas that we help assist these boys. It's called Leading Edge. It's a boys' mentorship program. And every time I go to Bahamas, I would have to buy resources for them. And this one time I went there, and the director there said that they were short on some supplies. As I went to get the supplies for the director, I went to the store that was similar to a Sam's Club. How many of y'all familiar with Sam's Club? Right? So I went to Sam's Club, and I have this cart, and I got a second cart, and I'm walking around, and my shirt says young, blessed, and highly favored. And the lady looked at the shirt, and she said, Right? And I looked back at her, and I said, yep. You know? And so kept walking, and you could see people reading your shirt, you know? And so I got on the line, and the lady, she said, you believe what that says? I said, yep. All day. So the cashier says, she says, blessed and highly favored. I said, no, that's not what it says. She said, yes, that's exactly what it says. She said, blessed and I said, no, it says young, blessed and highly favored. She said, well, you ain't that young. I said, all depends on who's judging. Come on. And so with that said, I thought, you know what? Let me take up my stuff. I'm putting the stuff on the cart. You know, and she's checking them out. She's checking it out. And so... she kept looking at my shirt, and she said, you really believe that? I said, every word of it. About three persons back on the line, this lady, she says, hey, you're that guy who does the children's program. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, keep up the great work you're doing. I said, yes, thank you very much. Please keep praying for us. And so we're on the line, and I'm cashing up the stuff, and it came up to about $198. I remember the exact number, $198. And when the lady told me my bill, I went to pull out my wallet. And the lady, three persons back, she said, excuse me, his bill is my bill. Hey, the cashier looked at me, and I said, young, blessed, and highly favored. It happened for real, I'm telling you, man. Hey, listen, I walk with expectancy. Come on, somebody. So we're going to declare some stuff, and we're going to teach this to our children because it's important for us to pass it on. Amen? So let's say this with confidence. I want you to repeat after me these words. I was not born to be broke, sick, or frustrated.
I was not born to be broke, sick, or frustrated.
I am blessed in every area of my life. I live and walk by faith and not by what I see.
I do all things with
excellence. I will be the lender and not the borrower. I am absolutely unstoppable.
I am absolutely
unstoppable. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
All things are working together for my good.
All things are working together for my good.
I refuse to live from crisis to crisis.
I refuse to live from crisis to crisis.
Generational curses are broken off of my life. My future is brighter than my past. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that. My future is brighter than my past. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm going to be sharing a story. It's about Jesus, and I think it's no better person for us to talk about when we're talking to children, when we're talking to parents, when we're talking to grandparents. There's no better person. Because tonight I really want to think about this fact of who are we following and think about how well do we follow. Because I believe that it's important that the next generation, I believe that our sons and our daughters, as they're gleaning from us, let me say that again, as they're gleaning from us, that they are able to capture the right things from us, but then at the same time able to capture the right stuff from the Word of God. And so let's go into the Word. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them quickly, and I'm going to read it real fast because we got kids following with us, but I got adults who want this. So let's do this. Luke chapter 2. Reading from the 41st verse, and it reads, "Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. They assumed that he was with them or among the travelers. But when he did not show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends." 45th verse says, "When they could not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days, watch this, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." The 48th verse says, "His parents did not know what to think. 'Son,' his mother said to him, 'why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantically searching for you everywhere.'" 49th verse says, "But why did you need to search?" he asks. "Did you not know that I must be about in my father's house?" 50 verse says, "But they did not understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all those things in her heart." The Bible says in 52 says, "Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with the people." I believe that it is the hour for us to understand that we hold in our hands their destiny. We determine largely whether our kids fail or succeed. I say this often, that whatever they are today, the world of tomorrow will be. The children today that's represented here in this incredible church represents the future. When you look at the children, what you're looking at is the future. The goal of adults today is to capture the revelation of what's inside of a child. The Bible says here that Jesus' parents, every year they did this particular thing, and they went to church. They went to this particular custom that was a norm for the family. They had relatives. Everybody was going there. This was exciting. You know what? We're going to see people we hadn't seen in a while because this is something we do. Now, with children today, they come to church. Some of y'all know it's good to come to church, right? It's good to come to church. But there is a generation of kids who aren't embracing church. There's a generation of kids whose parents grew up in church, but now they're not growing up in church. They're leaving the custom behind. But I believe that there's a generation of kids who will say, you know what? I'm going to fall in love with the place that my parents have custom in. I'm going to be in church, and I'm going to learn what I'm supposed to learn. So the Bible says this. It says that Jesus went with them just as every year that they would do. But here's a couple of things that we notice. He went there and he looked forward to it. In other words, he was in this place and he embraced what was happening there. I like the fact that the Bible says that he was asking questions. Oh my goodness. How many of y'all know it's a good thing to ask questions? He was not only asking questions, he was listening. Woo, now that's a whole nother level. Because it is possible to be present but not present. It is possible to be in church and not get anything. But here's the deal. Jesus is in. He is present. But now not only is he present, he's getting something. He's listening. He's paying attention. He's observing what's going on. He's realizing there are some things off. And he's realizing this is the place where he belongs. He discovered it at an early age. This is amazing. This tells us that if Jesus could discover it at an early age, we too. Come on. Every child must understand that the possibilities of them discovering their purpose early is high. It's real. Listen, I met a girl in California, and she sings now and just recorded an album.
And I remember when we passed the mic to her for the first time, I said, "Can you sing a song for me, please?" She said, "Oh, I'm shy." I said, "No, come on, we're going to do a little talent show, and can you just sing the song?" "I don't want to sing." And I said, "Come on, you can do it, you can do it." And all of the others said, "You can do it." And they started clapping for her. How many of y'all have ever encouraged a child to sing before? Said, "Come on, everybody, clap for her." And they started clapping. And guess what? They gave her the mic, and she started singing. And behold, she had a voice that was amazing. I'm talking about everybody was blown away. Now, here's the deal. She wasn't about 9 years old. She grabbed that mic. She sung. The next morning, she came to Children's Church. She said, we were at a conference. She said, "Mr. Crudle, can I sing again?" I said, "Of course you can sing again." Not only did she sing again at the conference, the next year she came. She says, "Hey, my mom said if you let me sing, they're going to record it." So they had the little camcorder in the back of the room. And I said, "I'm going to let you sing." But here's the deal. We had some kids who only spoke Spanish in this service. It was like 15 kids who only spoke Spanish. And so I said, is there any kids in the service who know how to speak English and Spanish? Well, she raised her hand. She said, "I can." And I said, "Well, can you sit with these kids and just tell them what I'm saying?" She said, "No problem." So as she was saying what I'm preaching, I looked over there and the Holy Spirit said, "You need to bring her up on the stage with you." So I brought her up there. I said, "Just say it in this section. I'll talk a little slower. You can say what I'm saying." She's 10 now. So she is saying exactly what I'm saying to these kids in this section that only speaks Spanish. And everybody's watching it, and all the kids are amazed because she is 10 years old, and she is with a mic, and she's starting to do the expression that I was doing. And as I did my hand like that, she did a hand like that. And it was like, "Woo, look at this." And she was going in. Long story short, 5 years later, she's coming to the conference with a keyboard. Come on. She's coming with the conference keyboard. She comes in and she said, "Mr. Crudle, I wrote a song." I said, "You wrote a song? Can you sing it for us?" She sung the song for us. It's been about 12 years. She has now produced her second CD. And she travels as an interpreter, translating for ministers now. She's in Mexico 2 or 3 times a year with American ministers translating. And see, every time she writes me back or messaging me to challenge me to say, "Mr. Crudle, you know, thank you for introducing me to the mic. Thank you for introducing me to the stage. Thank you for seeing something beyond where I was, understanding that there was more in me than that moment." How many of y'all know it's important for us to have an eye to see? How many of y'all know it's important for us to have an ear to hear? How many of y'all know God is talking to us about our children? How many of y'all know that every child in here, that inside of you there is abilities that the world needs? Woo! Come on, what you got to now do is you have to embrace this idea. I'm important. I'm significant. I'm called by God to do something in the earth. And if I would capture what God has called me to, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. It's understanding if God be for me, who can be against me? I got 5 things I want to teach every child and parents in here tonight about Jesus. 1, he had the custom that he practiced that everybody ought to practice. He went to church. He went and he saw where the teaching of that day was being held, and he learned and he paid attention. But here's 5 things that the Bible says. It says, "Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." He was obedient. He was obedient. So the first thing I want all the kids to say, be obedient. Oh, that was just the boys. I need more help. Everybody say, be obedient. Hold on. Now watch this. Being obedient is easier said than done. See, because the goal now is to do what you know. So once you've been taught something, you got to now push yourself. Lord, help me, help me, help me. Anybody's ever had to pray and say, God, help me to listen to my mama. I know I need to listen to my mama. I need to listen. Anybody ever had to? So here's the deal. You're praying, Lord, help me to listen because I want to be obedient. I was told what to do. Now I want to do that. Right? I want to do that. So, Lord, help me to be obedient. Lay your hands on your head. Come on, lay your hands on your head. Say, Lord, anoint me to be obedient to the instruction that will direct me to my destiny. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. Watch this. He was obedient. Now, watch this. I like what it says. It says he was obedient. It didn't say they forced him to be obedient. He was obedient. You making me. We don't want to make you. We want you to learn how to just embrace it. See, so we don't want to force you to worship. We want you to embrace worship. We don't want you to force you to read the word. We want you to want to read the word. We want you to want to be in his presence. We want you to understand that obedience, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. It's the key thing for the significance level to be manifested in one's life. If you want to be great, if you want to be used by God, learn to be obedient to the voices that have been assigned to you. Learn to be obedient. Now, it's a struggle because we want to do our own thing. But I want it now. Anybody ever been there before? I really want it now. But like, I was just for my accident a long time. Hey, stop it. Behave. I'm going to spank you. Stretch your hands and say, Lord, help me to be obedient. See, here's the deal. Obedience is the difference maker that will bless your life beyond measure. Okay? Obedience is the difference maker that will bless your life beyond measure. So number one, he says, watch this, he was obedient. Number two, he got wisdom. So the Bible says in Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. So everybody can learn from this because I like this one because here's the deal. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is knowing. Wisdom is doing what you know. So it's possible to say, I know what you said, Mom. See, that's knowledge. Didn't I tell you? Have you ever been told, didn't I tell you not to go ahead? Didn't I tell you? I know, but. See, to know is to be informed and to be knowledgeable. So you know. The Bible didn't say Jesus knew. He went further than just knowing. It says that he increased in wisdom, which is the ability to do what he has been told, which is bring knowledge to life. The goal is once you learn it, you do it. Ooh, come on. Once you learn it, you do it. Everybody say, learn it, do it. So now watch this. As soon as you are taught something, you apply it. Taught it, apply it. Taught it, apply it. What happens now is you're going to shift from being knowledgeable to wise. My grandmother had this particular holiday, she assigned that she was going to take my brother and I to the carnival. I'm from the Bahamas. Some of y'all can tell that little accent. Right? And so she was going to take both my brother and I to the carnival. And the carnival was like our Six Flags. And so she gave my brother $10. And she gave me $10. And she says, now, in a few hours, we're going to the carnival. Well, I went outside, found some of my friends, and said, hey, I got $10. And they looked at me and said, where you get $10 from? And I said, I got $10. You don't have $10. I got $10. And so they were like, oh, he got. So I said, hey, let's go to the store and buy a soda. So I was like, hey, man. One soda for me, and for all my friends, can you get them a soda too? Okay, so we bought some sodas, and then we went back and bought some chips, and we went back, bought some candy, some blow pops. We were sitting outside feeling all happy, went back inside, bought ice cream, and then I heard my grandmother says, She called me Ricky. Ricky! And I thought, I got to go, guys. But as I turned around to run, I started to think, I don't have any more money. I'm blown away. The money is gone. And so I walked in the house, my head's down, and my brother looks at me and he could tell something's wrong. He said, ooh, I'm going to tell on you. And so my grandmother said, what happened? And she said, what happened? And my brother said, he spent all his money. My grandmother nicely, she said, why couldn't you be as wise as your brother? She says, since you did not do what you knew you should do, what we're going to do is you're going to come along, but you're just going to watch. And so your brother is going to have the joy of going on all those rides and buying what he wanted at the carnival. And I walked along. And I didn't get anything. And I learned then that it's different from knowing what to do and doing what you know you should do. So then I asked God, you know what? Jesus was so ahead of his time in that he came in as a kid learning, observing, paying attention. And the Bible says, here's what he did. He became knowledgeable, but then he applied this knowledge that he got that made him wise. So now what I'm praying for this generation, I don't want boys and girls just to know what to do. I'm believing God that they're going to do what they know. I'm believing God that they're going to be brave enough to do what they know. They're not going to be afraid to do what they know. See, because when your mama teach you and when churches taught you and when your Sunday school teachers taught you, when you have been taught, now we need some boys and girls who will say, I know what I got to do. I've been taught by my mom. I've been taught by my church. I've been taught by the word of God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And I'm going to stand strong and do what I know. I don't want to just know what to do. I want to do what I know. Come on. Say, I'm going to do what I know, because we're losing a generation, not because they don't know. It's because they're not doing what they know. So the first thing we learn here is, you got to be obedient. Everybody say, be obedient. The second thing we get is we got to get wisdom. Woo. Now, wisdom is the difference maker. Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Woo, is that good? It says more valuable than ruby. It says nothing you can desire can compare to it. Man, you're talking about something you should pray for. If the Bible says any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Man, when you go to pray tonight, you say, Father God, give me wisdom. Wisdom at your age, wisdom at your age will allow you to make decisions far beyond your years. Wisdom at your age will allow you to avoid some pitfalls. Come on. Being able to identify that, Lord, I need the ability to apply what I know, and I need to be able to be obedient when the right voice speaks to me. Because a voice is speaking to direct us according to our destiny, but our inability to be obedient to it hinders us from seeing the manifestation of it. So the goal then is, Lord, give me the ability to be obedient. I want to be obedient. Everybody say, I want to be obedient. Obedience is the difference maker. Then you want to be wise. Oh, my goodness. If God would dose you with another level of wisdom where you'll be like, that boy, I don't want to just be smart. I want to be wise. Come on. I want to be wise. I want to be wise. Everybody said, I want to be wise. I want to be wise. Everybody, all the kids, wise. I want to be wise. I want to be wise, because here's the deal. It comes from above. Wisdom comes from above. So the Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom. And then it says he increased in stature. In other words, he grew up. So I tell kids as I travel, I say, take care of your body. Because your body is going to be the tool God is going to use to fulfill your assignment. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You got to keep it clean. So you got to now grow up and remember, as you desire to do great things for God, your body is the tool God uses to do the things in the earth. So now you got to say, you know what? I'm going to take care of my body. Why? It's God's vehicle for my assignment to be fulfilled. I love my body. You got to look at yourself and say, I like me. Do you know when I was growing up, they called me Big Head all the time? Do you know that kids will be mean? How many of y'all know kids are mean sometimes? They would come, and in the Bahamas, they says it like this, get your big head from around me. And I would walk with low self, my head would. And then one day, someone looked at me and says, man, you got a big nose too. Calling me big nose, big head. I wear size 14 shoes. Somebody called me Bigfoot. And then I started to get in the Word of God. And when I got in the Word of God, I learned that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And he didn't make no mistakes. Hey, and I got saved at a church where the Spirit of God preside, and while they were laying hands on everyone and everybody would fall back, my 14 would hold me up. Woo! So every time they would put someone behind me, I don't fall, but you know why? These 14s be working. You know, hey, then I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, you know what? God would not give me this big face with small nose. The nose got to match the face. Come on. Right? See, God don't make no mistakes, but if you don't learn to love your body, you will abuse your body. So the Bible says Jesus, watch this, he increased in stature, and his body was a part of his assignment. If you study his life, you will understand that a part of his fulfillment of his assignment on earth required his body to be used. Ain't that the truth? So here's the deal. All of us got to learn, my body is God's tool for my purpose to be used in the earth. So the earlier I learn to value my body, the more I'll tell my friends, nope, not me. Oh, you're boring. That's okay. I'll stay boring. I love the Lord, and I love my body, and I love me. And they said, but you short, and I still like me. But you so tall, and I still like me. Well, how come you don't have a smile like me? I like me. You got to like yourself. Look at someone and say, I like me. Come on, smile at them and say, I really like me. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, but here's the next one. It moved over, and it says that he increased in favor with God. Favor with God. So here's what we got to get with that. Favor with God. Most people don't realize favor is attracted to honor. Favor is attracted to honor. The student says to me, Ricardo, you're the teacher's favorite. See, the student who honors the teacher is the student the teacher favors. Someone says, you know, he is mama's favorite. It's probably because he honors mama. What you want to do is you want to learn to live a life where you honor those you're supposed to honor and watch favor becomes attracted to you. So the first person you want favor to be attracted to you from is God. So the Bible says in all your ways acknowledge him and he will do what? Direct your path and give you favor. So now your parents can't afford the scholarship, but God brings the scholarship. Yeah, your parents don't have the money for lunch, but the lunch shows up. See, because once you realize if you honor God, favor will show up. Now, what you got to do is you got to watch it. Friends will tell you it don't take all of that. But what you got to say, it takes all of that and more. Because whatever God is asking of me, when I honor him by obeying his word to do what he says, favor will become more attracted to me. So every child needs to learn, the more obedient I am to God, the more favor I attract from God. So favor ain't fair. It's attracted to honor. Favor isn't fair. It's attracted to honor. So honor is the missing ingredient in a lot of people's lives. So here's what I'm believing God for. A generation of kids that will rise up and learn to embrace the idea that if I honor God, I will attract his favor. If I attract his favor, my life will have nothing missing. If I attract his favor, doors will open for me that man can't explain why they're opening it for me. If I attract his favor, I'll become unstoppable. If I attract his favor, my mama gonna find out that they gonna call and give me something that they had said no to because I am honoring God. We need our children to learn the role of honor. We need them to learn the role of honor. So we honor God, and then the scripture says we honor people. Right? Because here's the deal. For purpose to be fulfilled in the earth, someone is assigned to help you fulfill purpose. In order for purpose to be fulfilled, someone will assist you with your purpose, so you cannot not recognize the role of people. So the faster we teach children to learn how to love their neighbors as themselves, what we're doing is we're teaching you, when we say love your friends, appreciate people, treat individuals kind, here's what happens. You're sowing seeds. Come on. You're sowing seeds. Because here's the deal. Nobody becomes significant by themselves. In order for you to become great, God will connect you to somebody. And what happens is, the more you learn to value people, the more people will bring value to you. All you have to do now is understand someone wants to help me, so the more I love people, the more I love God, the more I'll attract favor from God, and the more I'll attract the people who are called to help me. But if I shun people and I shun God, I'll find myself alone. And if I find myself alone, I won't be able to get to where I belong, because even though there's greatness within inside of me, that greatness won't be able to come out because I have decided to mess up the process. So I have 5 balloons, and I'm going to need some kids to help me out with these balloons. Who's going to help me out? Who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? Come on. 1, you can give him a balloon and come up on the stage. All right. We got some helpers. Give them a hand clap as they're coming up. All right. That's 1. I need some more. 2. Come on. 3. All right. 4. Right here with the glasses. Yeah. All right. Man, there's so many of y'all. Give it up for all the children one more time in the building. All right. I need one more. Come on up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give all of y'all your balloons, y'all own balloons. Who think they can blow them up? Who can blow them up really big? Okay, we'll see in a few minutes, okay? All right, come on over, guys. Come on over a little bit. Give it up for them again one more time, please. All right, this one right here, we have right here. Can you stand right? Come over. Right there. Can you stand right here? Can you come right here for me, please? All right, you guys look great. All right, so this balloon says here, be obedient. Everybody say, be obedient.
Be obedient.
This balloon says, what it says?
Get wisdom.
Get wisdom, all right. Come on, go over a little bit. Go over for me. Go over. All right, this one says, take care of your body. All right, come on right here. All right. Then this one says?
Love God.
All right, this one says?
Love people.
All right. So here's the deal. We have these 5 balloons represented here. And so all of these are directed from this Jesus development, because if there's anyone we want to study, we should study who?
Jesus.
Jesus. I mean, the best person to follow is who? Jesus. So everything about the Word of God that has something to say about Jesus, you want to study it. You want to learn everything about Jesus. Learn everything, everything. When you read your Bible, you say, Mama, tell me more about Jesus. Tell me what the Bible says about Jesus, and then follow him. So here's what it says. He says, what's this? He was obedient. So everybody said, be obedient.
Be obedient.
So now, if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to be what?
Obedient.
No, I can't hear you. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to be? All right, so now here's the deal. We have a generation. We're believing God. We're going to be obedient. Now, in you following Jesus, you have to decide that you are going to get
wisdom.
All right, so everybody say, be obedient. Let's try it again.
Be obedient.
Now, watch this. When you pray, you say, Lord, help me to be obedient. Then you got to say, Lord, help me to get wisdom. Now, watch this now. It's a big difference. As I said before, it's different to get knowledge than wisdom. So you don't want just knowledge. You want wisdom. The more knowledge you get, it increases your chances to be wise. It doesn't automatically make you wise. It just increases your chances to. Wisdom is the ability, watch this, that God breeds to knowledge. So now you're able to, watch this, move beyond just knowing. Anybody ever know someone who knows a lot but don't have the manifestation of it? Well, when God breathes on knowledge, it brings you to a place where that truth becomes alive, which turns into wisdom. So now we want wisdom. And then this next one, watch this. Come on over. All right. Keep it blown up. So let's try this again. Everybody say, and this third one, watch this, everybody say, take care of your body. Now watch this, as children grow, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, so as they grow older. Now, what I've discovered is, when a lot of kids over the years, I've saw kids who, hey, Mr. Ricardo, I'm 5 and I like the church Easter program, and can I sing a song? And then they'll be singing a song. And I'm like, oh, she's so cute. And they'll all take pictures in the front. And then they turn 11 and says, I don't do jump up and down songs no more. And then some will turn 15 and say, Mr. Ricardo, you don't understand. I'm a cheerleader now. I don't do songs like that. Then you got the guys who, well, I play football, Mr. Ricardo. That's a little kiddie song. That's a little kiddie stuff. But see, what happens is, if you understand that the song don't make you, you make the song. So you say, listen, I can be 14 and I don't ever grow old or jumping up and down. I can be 16 and if I love the Lord, listen, man, bring it on. Because you know what? I'm going to be excited while I'm 5, while I'm 10, while I'm 15, while I'm 20. I'm not going to grow old. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to grow in his presence. I'm not going to leave it behind. What I've been taught, I'm going to carry it with me. That's what we got to do. So when you get older and you start to change in your body and you start to get little arms, you know, get the little muscle, right? You want to remember, I love the Lord, right? So watch this. She said, take care of your body. Then this other one says, love God. And the last one, love people. So here's what I say. You don't need to miss out the people dynamics. I've met people who say, well, I just want to love the Lord. I don't care about people. Well, that's not how Jesus did it. The Bible says as he grew in favor with people. So here's the deal. You got to have a prayer life that helps you to understand if you don't be careful, watch this, just as God sends the right people to you, the enemy sends some wrong people to you. So you need a prayer life to be able to tell the difference between good and bad. So that you will be able to grow with the right people and watch out for the wrong people. What you want to do is you want to be able to know that it is possible to say, I'm so smart and I'm growing up and my body got muscles. But you'll be like, I don't know, but the Lord thing, you know, I used to love the Lord, but now I understand that, you know, I don't think that's real. You'll be like, hold on. You don't want to get so smart that you get to the point where you no longer believe. You want to remember that no matter how intelligent I become, I'm going to always believe. What I've been taught, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to lock into it, and I'm going to love the Lord, no matter what. PhD, love the Lord. $1 million, love the Lord. High school, love the Lord. College, love the Lord. Where I go, I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to love him. So in closing, watch this. Our prayer now needs to be, Lord, how do we reach this generation? How do we save our kids from falling away when we have a church like this that's making it the big deal for a big thing to reach a generation that needs to know that God is so real, that he wants them to fall in love with him at an early age so that they don't make our mistakes as adults. That they, watch this, that generational curses are broken off of their life. That they learn to dwell in his presence and say, I love the Lord and I'm smart. Come on, I love the Lord and I'm growing up and taking care of my body. I love the Lord and, watch this, I'm obedient and I'm learning how to follow. Because he has a plan. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. The Bible says that Jesus grew up. I'm praying that our kids are going to grow up and they're going to be like Jesus. And guess what? They're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And when they pray, the Lord will hear them. Because Jesus says, every time I pray, the Father hears me. That's what I want to see happen to our children. I want to see our children, when they open their mouths, the adults around them says, what question is coming from a boy like this? Look at the answers coming from these children. It's because these are exceptional kids. These are a different breed. These are the kids that's going to shake a city. These are the kids that have been called to set apart from every other generation. We got to call for the blessings of God on our children. We got to bless them going out. We got to bless them. We got to say, listen, I made the mistake, but not you. Come on, somebody. I made a mistake, but not you. Because why? If I know one thing, I know that God's word is real. And I know his presence is evident. And if we submit to him, if I learn how to do that, and I pass it on to my children, to children's church, I pass it on to him through prayer time at home, I pass it on to my daughter, I pass it on, there will be a generation that will grow up and say, there was a group of adults who did not give up on us. In spite of what's happening in our world, they didn't give up, because all is not lost. And guess what? Among us are kids who are destined to change the world. But we need parents like Mary. Come on, stand up, kids. We need parents who, the Bible says, and she kept all those things in her heart. She was observing. There's something different about this one. Hallelujah. There's something different about this one. It's something different. It's something different. Here's the deal. If you don't understand it, don't touch it. Come on. If you don't understand it, just tell God. Hey, I don't understand, but here's the deal. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to get in the way of my son becoming who you created him to be. I don't want to get in the way of my daughter becoming who you created her to be. Help me to get past me. Yes, I'm worried and wondering where my boy is at, but here's the deal. Jesus said, why worry? Don't you know? Didn't you realize that I love the presence of God? Don't you know that I love hearing his word? There's kids who are going to tell you, Mom, we got to go to church. Dad, get up. It's time to go to church. You said, but I worked last night. When they say get up and go to church, you got to get up and go to church, because they're pushing towards learning about his presence. We got to do it. We got to do it beyond our feelings. I know Jesus' parents was upset. 3 days journey, and they're wondering, where's our boy? But the Bible said, if you read it carefully, it said he stayed behind. He wasn't left behind. In other words, he found his place. And oh, that should be our prayers for the children today, that they find their place. The late Dr. Miles Monroe says it like this: where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable.
When you don't know the purpose of a thing, you abuse the thing. So the greatest discovery is to discover the thing. What we have to pray for is that they will discover their thing. Ooh, because none of them are accident. What we want them to do is to discover their thing.